And it's 8:50, time for our first look at the commodity markets for this Friday morning. Here's Dave Dickey. Hi, Dave.
Good morning, Dan, and good Friday morning, everyone. This morning, USDA released its quarterly grains stocks report for September. The numbers look like this in billions of bushels. Corn, 1.304. Soybeans, 573 million. And wheat, 1.717. We'll discuss the implications of those numbers for the opening bell at the Chicago Board of Trade in just a few minutes with Jackie Vakes of Stuart Peterson Group. In the Eastern Corn Belt Daily Direct Hog Report for Thursday, September 27th, negotiated swine purchases were 15,723. For the base market hog on a 185-pound carcass basis, the base price range was $48 to $58.50. The weighted average, $54.79, a loss of 63 cents from Wednesday. On a live basis, barrels and gilts sold from $39.72 to $47.28, the weighted average, $44.21. For the Western Daily Direct Hog Report, negotiated swine purchases were 15,039. The base price range, 47.75 to 60.81. The weighted average, 57.03, a loss of 62 cents from Wednesday. On a live basis, barrels and gilts sold from 36.79 to 47.38. The weighted average, 44.18. Today, packer bids for hogs in the Midwest are expected to be 50 cents to $1 per hundredweight lower amid ongoing pressure from larger-than-expected supplies and declining wholesale pork prices. Terminals called steady in a light-volume test. Peoria steady today with a top price of $37.50. Joining us now with a look at today's agricultural weather, AM 580 Chief Meteorologist Ed Kieser. Good morning, Ed.
Good morning, Dave. Taking a look at the Midwest Corn Belt. First, we'll focus on Illinois and Indiana, and it looks like some great weather for harvest operations is on the way here. In general, over the next week, there will be a couple of periods where some brief showers will move through Illinois and Indiana. The first batch could reach northwestern Illinois Sunday afternoon and could bring some scattered showers and thunderstorms across the area Sunday night. Now, one model we look at has us all breaking up. The other put some substantial amounts down Sunday afternoon and evening across northern and portions of west central Illinois. So there's a chance that there could be some harvest delays late Sunday afternoon in northwestern Illinois. As this pushes eastward, it does weaken, but there could be some showers pushing on into eastern areas Sunday. And actually, that front is not going to probably produce a lot of rain for Illinois and Indiana. Most amounts will be well under a quarter of an inch, and many locations may get none at all. And by the time it gets to Ohio on Monday, it fizzles out completely. Then another front follows up, and this is the one that I was looking at two separate fronts here, that the models indicate late on the day Tuesday, northwestern and north central and west central Illinois could pick up some heavier rain along with a good portion of Wisconsin as another front comes through. That system weakens as it goes east, but it looks a little stronger than the one on Sunday afternoon and evening. So Tuesday late afternoon and evening is the front that may bring a little more rain. But even at that, it looks like the eastern Corn Belt is not going to get a lot of rain. East of the Mississippi River, generally good harvest weather is expected over the coming week, and temperatures are going to be running above average. We'll have overnight lows tomorrow morning, probably in the 40s in many rural locations again, before we get back to 50s for the rest of the weekend and next week. And high temperatures on most days will probably get into the upper 70s to middle 80s across Illinois, Indiana, and Ohio. Now, as far as the western Midwest is concerned, there's a better chance of the harvest delays due to wet weather. The first batch will be coming in, Sunday, and that will bring showers and thunderstorms to South Dakota, Nebraska, Minnesota, and portions of Iowa. And once that front goes through, there will be a little break, and then the next system comes, and scattered thunderstorms could produce locally heavy amounts on the day Tuesday in Iowa and Minnesota and western Wisconsin. So that's an area where there will be more delays. Now, after that, there may be a couple dry days, but even later next week, there could be more showers out in the western Midwest. So I do think harvest will slow down For the northwestern Midwest, while harvest will continue at a rather rapid clip over Illinois and Indiana eastward. As far as the Delta and Southeast are concerned, mainly dry weather for the next several days. So harvest operations and field work should continue there without any real problems. No tropical systems coming in just yet. And fronts coming through the Midwest tend to fizzle out before they get to that area. For the Great Plains hard red winter wheat belt, seeding will continue at a rather fast clip. They may have a few showers scattered about early next week, but nothing that's really going to slow things down greatly. And as far as temperatures go across the entire area, they'll be running near to above average through next week. There are some signs that a more significant cold front could come about Sunday of next week, so more than a week out. And behind that, there could be a plunge of the coldest air of the season, but that would not be too surprising as we're running above average. And by then, we're getting into the second week of October, and you do expect temperatures to start to drop at this time of year. But we could be in for a bit of a reality check at that point. Quickly going to South America, I can tell you that weather for corn planting and most of the wheat that's coming out of dormancy and heading in Argentina, no problems there. You probably will get some showers next week after some dry weather here. And dryness continues in portions of Brazil, especially the northern growing areas. We'll have to watch that closely. Again, it's their dry season, so maybe some of the concern is overblown. But on the other hand, until rain comes, we're concerned. That's a look at the growing areas. I'm meteorologist Ed Keyser.
Agricultural programming is made possible by Stuart Peterson. For over 20 years, Stuart Peterson has helped farmers manage both marketing opportunities and risks through their analysis, advice, and action. Stuart Peterson's team of experts and strategic consulting approach utilize the latest technology. Stuart Peterson, confidence like never before. More information is available at www.stuart-peterson.com.
In the Thursday overnight trading session, Kansas City December wheat opened at 909 and a quarter, down 10 and a quarter, last trade down 10. March, 907 and three quarters, up 1.5, last trade up 3. At the Board of Trade, December wheat opened at 933, unchanged, last trade down 5. March, 933 and a quarter, down 3 and a quarter, last trade down 7. July, 668 and three quarters, down 1 and three quarters, last trade down 1. December corn opened at 386 and a quarter, down 0.5, last trade unchanged. March, 402, down a quarter, last trade unchanged. July, 418 and a half, down 3 quarters, last trade down 3 quarters. November beans opened at 1007 and a half, down 1.5, last trade down 5. January, 1022 and a half, down 2.75, last trade down 5. July, 1032, down 3, last trade down 4.5. October soybean meal opened at 284.20, up 140, last trade down 80. October soybean oil opened at 39.68, unchanged, last trade up 7. Joining us on the phone is our new Friday pre-opening commodity market report analyst, Jackie Vakes from Stuart Peterson Group up in Wisconsin. Good morning, Jackie.
Good morning, Dave.
Welcome aboard.
Thank you.
Why don't we get right to the numbers and ask you, of the numbers off of this morning's reports and releases, which is the most significant to the market trade today?
Well, I think there's a number of different significant ones. I think that the wheat number, of course, probably will be viewed as being the most significant because of the fact that we had lower stocks than the guesses, and we showed that we harvested about 2 million less acres. Disappearance was up 27%. I think there are two other numbers, though, that are really important, one being corn. Disappearance on corn for the quarter went down by 300 million bushels, and the disappearance on beans dropped by 1.24 billion bushels. And so if you look at that, I guess all it's saying is that things are slowing down a little bit on the usage side, probably due to price.
So what does that mean for prices between now and, say, the October reports?
Well, I think the wheat price certainly is going to, you know, it's called 10 to 15 higher this morning, and I believe that as long as the wheat price continues to stay strong, it's going to be difficult to see corn and beans drop off very much. And we have to keep things in perspective. The corn stocks were 34% lower than they were in 2006, and that's leading to the, you know, 3 to 5 down on the open this morning, but will we stay? We're not sure. Beans, on the other hand, could suffer a little bit, and yet yields out the fields are holding it. I mean, we had stocks here that were up 27% over last year, and we had the largest September 1st stocks report in beans on record.
So in December wheat, how bullish do you want to be? Do you see $10 wheat there?
I think that $10 wheat is very attainable, especially since when you look at the comparison with the French wheat right now, French wheat is trading at 10.67 this morning, and therefore we can still buy it. You know, they can still buy it from us cheaper. U.S. dollar put in a new all-time low, makes us extremely competitive in that market.
And what about the possibility of $11 beans?
I think that, it's been coined before, but I think beans in the teens isn't out of the question this year.
And go ahead and give us your calls then for this morning.
Well, on wheat, we've got early calls on wheat up 10 to 15, corn down 3 to 5, beans down 5 to 7.
Mm-hmm. Well, thank you very much, Jackie.
You're welcome. Thank you.
Jackie Vakes of Stuart Peterson Group up in West Bend, Wisconsin. You're listening to WILO Urbana, the broadcasting service of the College of Communications at the University of Illinois. We're on the web at wiloag.org.